Welcome to the new Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news on the local Colorado economy and initiatives that focus on the development of cybersecurity economics. You don't have to be a computer or cybersecurity expert to get plugged in. Your host, Chris Gorog, brings it straightforward, asks the tough questions, and brings the cyber world to a level of understanding for everyone. Chris is personable and opens up with our guests on the issues we all would like to see addressed. You can find us on the web at www.newcyberfrontier.com. Now join our host as he introduces the topic for today's New Cyber Frontier.
Hello and welcome to New Cyber Frontier, the preeminent cyber podcast out there in our cybersecurity world. I'm Abe Thompson. I'm standing in for my friend Chris Gorog, our regular host of the show. I have the privilege today of having the CEO of ID Agent, Mr. Kevin Lancaster, with us. As we broadcast here from the SecureSet campus here in Colorado Springs, I'd like to welcome Kevin to the show.
Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. So, Kevin, give us a little intro on yourself and who you are and how you got to where you are as CEO of ID Agent.
I'd be glad to. So, again, my name's Kevin Lancaster, CEO, ID Agent, and you know, it's been a long journey to get to this point, quite candidly. I spent the last, better part of the last 15, 16 years supporting our federal government agencies with a lot of their cybersecurity needs, whether it's what we did with OPM after the big data breach that they suffered a couple of years ago, providing identity management solutions to the millions of people that were impacted, or providing network intrusion and scanning technologies to government agencies, federal, state, and local. But you know, we got here today is that we saw a tremendous need to bring these types of solutions, our dark web monitoring solutions, beyond these enterprises. A lot of these big enterprises that we work with are very sophisticated. They understand that truly how bad it is out there, and our mission is to bring these solutions and the awareness of what's going on out there to what we call the folks that fall below the cyber poverty line. The 99% of us out there that just don't understand the complexities of cybersecurity and really what's going to be required to maintain personal identities and business identities going forward. And so we're squarely focused in helping the general population really understand what they need to be thinking about going forward when it comes to cybersecurity.
What a profound and poignant term or phrase, even cyber poverty line. I think that's fantastic. It kind of captures a lot of what my colleagues and I often see and hope to address. So I think that's a great deal to bring everybody along. And we know that the weakest link is the best point of exploitation. And so bringing everybody up to a standard is a great endeavor. Kevin, as you have arrived at this position, found your niche and your target to bring this service to the cybersecurity community, what do you see to be the most pressing issue, need, or problem facing the cybersecurity community that you want to solve?
I think there are two primary issues, and kind of taking a real quick step back, a lot of our mission and kind of drive to bring this awareness really, it comes from a lot of the byproducts that we saw a lot of that OPM program that we had developed. So at one point we were responsible for maintaining the identities of the 4.2 million current and former government employees that were compromised, and what we saw is that for those that had enrolled into our identity monitoring platform, about 76% of them, they had a compromised email address and password that was out in the dark web, that was out being bought, sold, or traded, that had nothing to do with the actual government's compromise. These are email addresses and passwords that were involved in, the LinkedIn data breach and Yahoo data breach and all these tools and all these technologies that everybody's using today that most of them had no idea that they were compromised. So we saw 76% of the folks had some type of compromised credentials that could be used to exploit them. And at that time, we also saw that about 33% of that population, those email addresses ended in either a .mil or .gov. And so that really, you know, it was the light bulb moment for us to say, you know what, this is a targeted population, right? This is our government, and we can show that they are that exposed and they're vulnerable. And this is pre-election, this is pre-Russia and all the, you know, things that you hear about today. But we see that, you know, this population is that vulnerable. If you overlay that with the general population of the U.S., we got a major problem on our hands. And so, you know, really kind of getting back to the earlier question, there are two major issues. One, it's the lack of awareness that these problems really exist. They are real until, or most people don't understand that they're real until they have some type of identity crisis, right? They get a credit card in the mail. They go to apply for a loan, or they go to file their taxes, and somebody's already filed taxes with their Social Security number. Most people don't, feel that impact until something happens.
Well, and that hits Kevin, very, very close to home. Let's continue this in a moment after we hear from our sponsors.
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
And we're back here with the new Cyber Frontier. My name is Abe Thompson, hosting from the SecureSet campus here in Colorado Springs. I have my guest here, the CEO of IDAgent, Mr. Kevin Lancaster. And you were just discussing with us, Kevin, what you're seeing in terms of a lack of an awareness, or an awareness that only has arisen at a time of crisis. Would you want to continue your thought there?
Yeah, no, I was saying that it's for most, you know, you hear about all these big data breaches, Equifax, and you know, but until it really impacts you, you just don't think about it in personal terms. And the other challenge that we see and that we're trying to solve is that, you know, there are, you know, millions of small businesses, and most small businesses these days are beginning that process of outsourcing their cybersecurity or their, you know, even just their basic email and network hosting, domain hosting to MSPs and IT service providers. And they're having a hard time articulating that the challenge to their customers. And that's the other area that we're focused on is helping our partners who are using our tools really, you know, get downstream into these small businesses, into the, you know, the average Joe and Jane out there, and you know, show why they need to up their security awareness and their security game, quite candidly. And those are really the two areas that we're focused.
And it sounds like, too, that, you know, you're trying to get rid of that notion of the blind leading the blind. You know, if those MSPs aren't up to snuff themselves, yeah, it's difficult for them to support their customers. Certainly, you've got a vision, you've got a mission, and a specific target. You mentioned something a bit earlier that certainly captures the imagination. A lot of folks hear it. A lot of folks use the term for some fear mongering, but you have some more direct insight. Tell us about your experience and your view on the dark web.
Yeah, glad to. And I know it's becoming a popular term these days. So essentially, you know, what happens if you think about the life cycle of some type of data breach or exploit or what have you, the ones that you hear about, oftentimes that data gets compromised or leaked based on just bad user behavior by accident. But then there are, you know, other times where data is compromised for some type of specific exploit, right? So you look at Target, you know, again, using some of the more well-known ones, right? You know, they get in through a supply chain vendor, they exploit point of sale, they get, you know, data on millions of credit cards, and so there's a financial exploit, right? There are cases where if you look at Yahoo or LinkedIn, right, maybe not necessarily motivated to extract dollars, but you know, you're extracting the email addresses and passwords and geolocation and recovery email addresses and, you know, dates of birth and mother's maiden names. So a lot of data that's really highly valuable, right? And so the individuals that are extracting this data, they know that there are areas that are now coined the dark web, which live in kind of the underpinnings of the internet. There's areas called the dark web, or considered the dark web, where you can buy and sell and trade data with less of a fear of being caught or being outed or being, you know, identified that you're actually doing that. You hear about ways to pay for that data with Bitcoin, anonymous transactions, but the dark web, in theory and in practice, is an area where you can go out and say, I just exploited an XYZ university. I just exploited some type of point of sale system or a hospital or whatever. And you'll have different markets for different types of data. You have a market for credit card data. You've got a market for social security numbers and health information. Obviously, you hear about, you know, markets for drugs and, you know, all kinds of you know, illicit you know, materials. But in short, the dark web is an area where you can just go out there and you think about like an Amazon.com. You can go out in there and buy and sell whatever you'd like without the fear of being caught. And that's where a lot of this data ends up and is used and exploited.
So is there, in your view, any sort of law enforcement presence or hope for addressing or living in that same space?
Yeah, I would tell you that it's heavily trafficked and monitored by law enforcement and intelligence.
Excellent.
Yeah, I think they're doing the best they can to get in and understand and monitor and when they can take down. I mean, you hear, you know, about Silk Road, you hear about, you know, just different markets that are up one day and they're down the next. And I think law enforcement's doing a better job of getting in and trying to identify, but it is always going to be, you know, whack-a-mole. It's one site goes down, it's replicated and pops up somewhere else and you just rinse and repeat. But they're definitely getting a lot more sophisticated in their ability to get in and take down these types of sites.
Well, and you'd mentioned that is part of your services, that dark web monitoring, which, you know, you said the more sophisticated enterprises are, you know, somewhat limping along and doing well, but certainly the mom and pops have very little hope of addressing these with their limited resources. And so how do you fill that gap?
Yeah, so we do a couple things, right? So for the small businesses, we'll go out and, you know, we'll say, you know, provide us your domain, so your email domain, and that's kind of a basic starting point, but give us your email domain and we'll show you what's out there. We'll show how many times, you know, your email addresses and passwords have been compromised. You know, that is one of the major challenges that we still see. 80% of us will use the same or a derivation of the same password across everything that we log into, whether it's the apps on your phone, to your bank, on network, if you're logging into, you know, your school email system, most people are still guilty. And so bringing that just general level of awareness is at times it's visceral, it's shocking when you can show somebody, hey, here's your email address and password. And then it really starts to think, you know, sink in. So a lot of our services are based on providing just that up front, showing here's your base level of exposure. I've got the keys to just about everything that you're going to log into, and here's how easy it is for us to use those keys and potentially to do something bad.
Well, and those of us that are in the space that trains the workforce of tomorrow for cybersecurity, we're very interested in not just the technical side of our students, we're also interested in the soft skills and sort of the ability to influence the security culture, and in some cases establish a security culture. And so I assume that's part of your vision and part of what you're hoping to accomplish in addition to providing the technical solution. So you talked about a lack of awareness. You're doing this revelation piece where you're changing that piece. Do you have sort of a forward-thinking vision of alternatives to the password problem?
Yeah, I get that question quite often, and I wish I had the right answer. I still believe it's going to be another decade until we're able to move away from the password. I think blockchain technologies will be very instrumental in that conversion away from kind of your just generic email address and password. But you know, I think today the best you can do is implement tools like two-factor, use password, vaults. I mean, unfortunately, the bad guys are spending a heck of a lot of time trying to crack those, reverse engineer, and get into those. But at least today you're adding, layers of complexity and, making it harder for them to do that. So I think that today is about the best that we've got. Sure. If you look at what a lot of the stuff the government's proposing and just different associations, there are a lot of really novel ways to look at passwords and changing, logins and using biometrics. But, pushing that out to, 300 million plus individuals is going to be challenging. It's going to take a long time.
Yeah, so it's certainly a need to accelerate blockchain technology awareness and usage. It also sounds like, too, there's an opportunity to kind of put yourselves in the forefront. And when I say that, it's as if I'm a customer. I run a mom-and-pop cybersecurity business. And I want to know, after the break, I should trust that expert. So let's go hear from our sponsors here on New Cyber Frontier.
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Over 3 million data breaches happen every single day. That's over 2,000 records being compromised every minute. So often, we focus on securing web data access. But what if the attackers are already inside, having gained direct access to your storage through data management software? When it comes to communications that go directly into your storage devices, make SNIA your first line of protection. SNIA's conformance testing limits outdated communications that are known to be used by attackers. It works continuously behind the background to make sure your storage is protected. To find out if your data is truly secure, visit our website at www.snia.org/cybertest.
Aside from the fact that, we supported the largest breach, and supported the U.S. federal government, we support states, we support, the most sophisticated of the sophisticated. We've got, obviously, a phenomenal track record. Sure. We're very transparent about, our mission is to help bring awareness. So, I think one of the things to think about is that we're bringing this issue to light, we're showing you this data, but if we have this data, there are thousands of individuals and organized groups that have this data, and they're using it for a very, different purpose. They're using it for a more malicious purpose.
Yeah, and they don't want you going out there. They don't want you going out there helping these people. Good grief.
Yeah, I mean, why bring to the fact that you've been compromised six times? I have maybe your password or three variations of your password. I mean, why? Why go out there and show that? But our mission is to go out there and help everybody understand that there are these problems. And another thing that is really very often overlooked and not understood is the fact that there is so much big data on the surface web. So that general, we talked about the dark web, right. Part of the deep web, the underpinnings, if you will, but. Now, if you just go out to your regular surface-level websites, you go out to, Google or your Chrome browser, Edge, what have you, and you go to sites like TruePeopleSearch.com or Spokio or Intellius, and you put your name and the state that you live in or you put your email address into some of these, you will be blown away by how much big data is out there already on you. I mean, you can find... With these very common search engines, you can find your known associates, your relatives, your previous addresses, your birthday, you know, let alone all the stuff that you've you know, left exposed to the public on Facebook and LinkedIn. There is a wealth of information out there about everyone, and it's very often underlooked, underreported. But if you take, you know, the data that you can find in Tor, the dark web, you can find email addresses and passwords, overlay that with all that public data out there, you can profile an individual very easily, and you can do very, very bad things. And so, again, just I've said it a couple times, our mission, and goes back to the fact that my father is a former, NSA type, if you will, and, you know, it was ingrained in us growing up, is that, you know, we got to go out there and protect people. And that's really a lot of what we're doing here is bringing this awareness, because just said, even some of the more sophisticated groups that we work with, when we show them the data that we can find in the dark web and the surface, you know, web, they're blown away. So I imagine the rest of the population would be equally as surprised at what's out there on there.
Sure enough. Your dad and I probably would have crossed paths then. That's sort of my background and upbringing. You know what I appreciate, Kevin, too, when I hear you speak, and you've used it over and over and over again, you've used the word mission. And that truly, to me, transcends sort of the routine mindset in approaching this. It's not just about getting the money made. It's not just about this. It's not just about that. It is a mission. And for those of us coming from a government background and a defense background, your work in this realm, even with corporate and commercial folks, is just as critical to our nation's defense. So one of the things that you caught our attention early on was when you talked about 76% of those passwords and email addresses have been compromised. What are some other just jaw-dropping stats that you've of the types of things that you've seen out there that would really resonate with folks? And then the next part of the question would be, should we just stop putting data out there and go crawl in a hole?
There's some days I wake up and I wish that was the case, but statistically, right? So that was from a snapshot in time back in 2015, right? Late 2015.
Yeah.
When we do analysis on, you know, different segments of businesses, right? Pick an industry, pick a size. We're now seeing about 80-85% of those organizations, we can find some type of credential on those businesses. And you overlay that with the general population, you know, just about everybody's been compromised. I mean,
sure.
It's not theoretical. It's not have I. It's just about everybody has been compromised.
Right.
The thing that is really exacerbating the challenge, and it's the thing that I think we all really need to think about going forward, is that we are adding so much complexity to the challenge every day. Exponentially, we're adding more complexity to it. You hear about the Internet of Things. You hear about, you know, all the different, you know, wired. Your refrigerator is now a smart device. People can log into your cameras at home and listen to you. But, you know, just think about the phone that you have in your hand. You know, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, you know, when apps were coming out, you had a couple apps. Maybe you had Solitaire and, you know, something to, you know, pass the time. But, you know, look at your phone now, you've got 50, 60, 80 millennials, you know. The younger ones out there, they may have a couple hundred, and they download those things at will. They don't, at times, you know, think about what they're really downloading and, you know, the permissions that they're giving to those app, you know, manufacturers. Some are obviously very legitimate. Some, you know, are not very, legitimate, I guess.
Best sure,
way to describe
sure.
It. So I think the problem's being exacerbated, and it's, you know, it is a kind of throw your hands up in the air challenge at times, because it gets more complex every second. Every moment another app's put into a Play Store and you download it, you know, you're creating a new username. You're probably using the same password because, hell, you've got 2,000 or 200 apps you've downloaded. How do you keep track of them, right? So that's where you think about the enormity of the cyber and identity crisis that we're all going to face here, is that it's just getting, it's accelerating the pace of complexity, the the pace of data that becomes publicly available is accelerating, and the tools that are out there to mash those together and do something bad are accelerating. And so it's a fight that you have to fight. It's a good fight, and we have to keep fighting it. But the rate of technology change and evolution, and it's making it that much harder. So go ahead.
I was going to say I appreciate too that you recognize this as a sort of a two-pronged approach. The low-hanging fruit is to add the layers of complexity where we can to put some speed bumps in there at least, while still going for the sort of the full-scale, broad-spectrum solution. And you're certainly a player in both of those things. And so, again, kind of sort of role-playing the small business owner out there, what things should I think about when I'm looking to choose services similar to yours, and before I make that decision to go with ID Agent or someone else in this space?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably hard at times to do a competitive analysis, but certainly reputation, longevity. We've been in this space for quite a long time, and so you can't necessarily go out there and say, trust us, but as much as you can be these days, we are pretty transparent about our mission and about, what we're trying to do and who we're trying to help. So, again, it's probably hard to do, but I think that's about the best you can do these days is do as much due diligence as you can and go from there.
So, to add a little intrigue to the scenario, how do we know even that the services that you provide and others doesn't also assist someone with ill intent? Is there even a way to address or think about that?
That's a good question. I think the way to look at it again is that we're our job is to bring awareness and help you, right?
Yeah.
Help you understand
yeah.
these challenges. And again, if we're finding this data out there, there are countless individuals, organizations, nation states that are finding this data out there as well. And so and they're not going to be vocal and transparent about how they're using that data against you. So I think really it's just the transparency and showing that this is we're trying to do good by society, by our customers and partners, and that's about the best you can do these days.
That's good.
It the challenge is enormous, and the more that we can bring that attention and awareness, the better off for everybody.
Well, and I tell you, Kevin, you have, like several others, but in particular with your focus and timing, you have really arrived, in a sort of just-in-time mode, I think. You're probably, instead of being washed by the wave, you're on the crest of the wave of the need for your services, and I really appreciate what you're doing for the mom and pops out there and the small businesses across the board. And so I appreciate that. So if someone wanted to reach out to you, get your services, how would they engage with your company?
So our site is idagent.com. We sell through our channel partners, and so we're not necessarily, we don't sell direct. So we're empowering, our managed service providers, our managed security service providers. So if they are looking for an MSP, MSSP, or they are looking to acquire our services, they can reach out to us, and we'll try to put them in contact with one of our partners, local to where they reside. Our model is to go through the channel partners, because they become a force multiplier, right? They they have the dozens, hundreds of customers and thousands of employees and people underneath of them that can, we can really get out there and help, you know, create that change. And so, but yeah, in general, IDAgent.com is probably a pretty darn good place to start.
That's wonderful. Kevin, I thank you very much. I appreciate your vision and especially what you're doing for folks. That's IDAgent.com. This has been a conversation here on the New Cyber Frontier with Mr. Kevin Lancaster, the CEO of IDAgent. He's got a vision and great support to those that want to mitigate the dark web problems that exist in terms of ill-gotten gain and nefarious use of our data. So this is Abe Thompson from the SecureSet Academy campus coming to you on the New Cyber Frontier broadcast. Thank you.
The views or opinions expressed during this podcast are not those of Colorado Technical University.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of New Cyber Frontier. Remember to get involved. Often we think that someone else will handle privacy and security in the virtual world, but you are the only one truly in command of your virtual fate. Join our mailing list so we can keep you informed of breaking news and new releases. If you have an idea, if you have a question that you would like to hear answered, or if you want to get involved with our efforts, reach out to us at newcyberfrontier.com. We also encourage you to visit our sponsors' links, as they are the ones that really make this show possible. I want to thank each of you for supporting the show, and we look forward to seeing you back for the next episode of New Cyber Frontier.